This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Parles-tu français?
Hablas español?
Parle italiano.
If you've used Babbel, you would. Babbel's conversation-based technique teaches you useful words and phrases to get you speaking quickly about the things you actually talk about in the real world. With lessons handcrafted by over 200 language experts and voiced by real native speakers, Babbel is like having a private tutor in your pocket. Start speaking with Babbel today. Get up to 55% off your Babbel subscription right now at babbel.com/listen. Spelled babbel.com/listen. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback. I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Jamie and Wicket are supposed to know what's going on in the world.
My advice to you, start drinking heavily.
Let's see if they really do.
What would you do with a brain if you had one?
It's What's Trending with Jamie and Wicket.
Apparently they give a lot fewer D pluses than D minuses.
On 98.1 KMBZ.
Well, Jamie, I think you'll be happy. It is not just national. It is World Chocolate Day.
I mean, every girl loves a good loves a good chocolate. I'm not going to complain.
It is World Chocolate Day. Will you go out and get? I didn't get any fried chicken yesterday.
And I'm not the biggest sweets person in the world, so.
Well, we have in the.
I need it to be World Salt Day.
In the office, we have
World Pasta Day.
Two different styles of Oreo cookies. One was coconut cream with the chocolate on the outside.
They were so non-distinct that when I ate them, I didn't know which was which.
The other one
flavor-wise.
Was caramel, salted caramel.
Yeah, I had no clue which was which.
Let's see here. Also trending, Juan Carlos Osorio.
Sounds like sports.
He is I believe he's a manager. He's a coach for a Mexican soccer team. He has been banned 6 games for insulting match officials during the Confederations Cup in their loss to Portugal. And he will be done for 6 games. That's a long time.
Is it?
Yeah.
For that?
Yeah, I mean, 6 games in baseball is like a week. But 6 matches in soccer, that's like a couple of months sometimes.
Okay.
That's impressive.
Putin is trending because I believe the media is over. The meeting is over between President Trump and Vladimir Putin. They did... do we have the audio from there? So they did a little public... meeting this morning, a little public announcement this morning, just a little public greeting. And if you can make out what they said, we'd love to know what you think they said because we couldn't figure it out. They met for about 2 hours. Putin tells state media that he and Trump talked cybersecurity.
Interesting.
They also talked Syria, Ukraine, and terrorism.
And beforehand, there were this two guys sitting in chairs, that awkward handshake.
The translator's there.
Try to hear what they say over all the camera snaps.
Thank you very much. We appreciate it. President Putin and I have been discussing various things, and I think it's going very well. We've had some very, very good talks. We're going to have a talk now, and obviously that will continue. But we look forward to a lot of very positive things happening for Russia, for the United States, and for everybody concerned. And it's an honor to be with you.
Like, how many pictures of two old guys sitting in white chairs do you need?
Yes.
That's really all it was.
Not 10,000.
Gosh.
But.
The end is the best part. Sounds like gunfire in Syria. No. That's just the media snapping away, holding that button down, and getting as many pictures of the American president and the Russian president as they possibly could.
Yes. Hashtag bad song sequels.
Oh, I have no idea.
Where's this going?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
I heard it through the raisin box.
Avery Bradley is trending. Take a guess.
Traded to the Pistons for Marcus Morris.
And what sport is that?
I'm going to guess basketball.
Very good. Yeah. Well done.
I'm not totally dumb.
Terry Francona is trending as well. He will not manage in the All-Star game after a heart procedure. Will probably join the team, the Indians, by the way, who are only a game up on the Royals. He'll join the team after the break.
If anybody can figure out why Splinter is trending, we would love to hear it.
I thought it was because of the character in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, but it is not.
Oh.
It is something else, and I don't know enough about it to speak of it.
Okay.
So that's what's trending here on at 98.1 KMBZ.
All right, so coming up a little bit later in the hour, we will talk about who a third of young people are adding to Snapchat. But coming up next, we actually just had a conversation with KMBZ's Bill Grady, who is going to join us in studio, a special appearance by him in just a few minutes, to talk about a bit of an incident he had this morning. That
with a local guy, right?
Local well-known rail guy.
And also, don't forget, go to our Facebook page. Your homework starts right now. Go watch the video of the police officer and the drunk driver from Nebraska, and you tell us if it was police brutality, excessive force, or was it necessary. We will start talking about it after the 12:30 news. It's Midday with Jamie and Wicket. Bill Grady joins us next on 98.1 KMBZ. 98.1 KMBZ, Midday with Jamie and Wicket. Jamie Monticelli, Mike Wicket. Coming up later on this hour, we will want, remember, your homework assignment is to go to our Facebook page and check out the video of the Nebraska police pulling over a drunk driver and the force that they used. We're going to ask you if it was excessive or if it was necessary. It's right there on the Facebook page, right at the top. Check out the video within the story, and you let us know coming up in a little bit here on KMBZ. Bill Grady joining us in studio. Hello, Bill. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday to you.
What's going on? How are, you know, you had a very interesting interaction with a, can I say, local, air quote, local locally known man, Clay Chastain.
Well, he's actually a Bedford, Virginia man.
Oh, that's right. He doesn't live here.
No longer a registered voter here. Uh-huh.
So, Bill, for people who are new to town, like Wicket, relatively, can you give listeners a 60-second bio of Clay Chastain and his relevance in town? I know it's difficult, but it's we've only got an hour and 40 minutes left.
Well, sure. He going back over 20 years, he actually played a major role in saving Union Station. After that, then he got on a mass transit jag, and in 2006, he actually had a mass transit plan that passed, but it was an unfunded mandate, and so the city council negated the vote. And since then, he's had numerous lawsuits, numerous petitions. He's run for mayor. He sued the mayor. He's run for Congress, and he doesn't live here anymore. And so we did some background checking on, because he refused, we gave him every opportunity to come forward and talk with us at length, post the entire interview on the web unedited. He refused, started looking into his background in Bedford. Turns out he was charged with two cases of animal cruelty in the last year, and the Bedford police say he left two little dogs in a car, in a hot car, while he went into a library, and the dogs died from the heat. And so, and there was another animal cruelty charge, and I was told that a third animal died there, but I've been able to confirm that. And Clay has seven other run-ins with the Bedford police since 2012, and he took issue with us looking into his background. My position is, if you were running for anything or fronting an initiative that cost the taxpayers money, you're fair game.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, the rules change.
Yeah. I mean, it's different if you're Stephen Olathe, you know, and you work your 9 to 5 or you're 8 to 10 or whatever, but you're 8 to 6.
Right.
But if you're running for office, people want to know about who exactly you are.
Right. And so we asked him about that this morning. I don't know if you can pull it.
I've got the dog, his conversation that you had, the conversation that you had with him about dogs.
At Union Station, yeah.
I have a right to sue your ass.
Go right ahead. Go right ahead.
Harassment.
Go right ahead.
I'm thinking of it.
We have a big legal
now
department.
Now beat it out of here, okay?
I'm not leaving.
Then get out of my way so I can see my board.
You can see
Move your wide body over here, will you?
You can see it.
I can't see the whole thing.
You can see it.
Move it a little bit over here.
You're not going to put
and
your
I
hands
said,
on
I'm
me,
not
Clay.
Going to you can see any more of your questions.
You have judgment issues. That's what people want to know.
It has nothing to do with my engineering design ability.
You go, Bill Grady. You go, Bill Grady.
I take no pleasure in his discomfort. Mm. I do not. if he had any. I don't know that there was any. But I did everything I could to get Clay to talk with us. You know, he claims he's renovated historic houses in town. Okay, can I have a reference? No. Would you like to come and do an interview with us? It would be unedited. No, this is a letter of refusal. Have you talked to anybody on your plans with the Federal Transit Authority? That got me a get lost in an email. So, you know, Clay is short on details for all of these plans. And it's, and that's fine. I mean, God knows we all support free speech. But when you dig a little below the surface, a lot of his plans tend to unravel. And about that, he gets very upset.
And I've been around 10 years, I guess. I consider him to be a pretty public guy, like right. generally not shy from the media, right. calls the newsroom a lot, wants the coverage, right. wants the coverage when he needs it.
Sure.
But for him then to turn away when he doesn't seems like you're playing both sides a little bit.
Well, he wants the coverage the way he wants it.
Right.
And so, you know, I happened to be on an interview program last year and I expressed the opinion, still hold it. And it's an opinion that this ceased to be about mass transit and people moving, economic development a long time ago, and it's all about Clay Chastain. So he called and demanded an apology, and naturally I said, you know, no, it's an opinion, not apologizing.
What happened after, I mean, after the audio ends, what happened after that?
Oh, he started asking me questions about, do you drink? Have you ever made mistakes in your life? Are you perfect? Are you an angel? So, you know, I mean, it just, and I actually misplaced my bag. I went back into the station, looked for it, came back out, found it outside. And as he was walking away, he started saying some things and I made the cross and I said, Clay, you know, go with God. And he said, I try to every day. I mean, you will never, it's useless to try to have any kind of dialogue with someone that is that much of a zealot, in my opinion. So we'll see if he files a lawsuit. If he doesn't, I don't know. He was upset that I looked into public records. Well, that is
public.
Last time I checked what reporters do.
Have you alerted our boss to this? Does HR know about this? Does Intercom Legal know about this?
No, not yet. But Alan and I have had a number of conversations. In point of fact, he has called Alan and complained about our coverage.
Then you're doing it right.
Right.
Then you're doing it right.
Well, according to him, I'm a disgrace to the profession and I should retire.
Well, that might be true, but you're doing it right.
Right. I'm out to pasture. I'm
exactly.
over the hill.
Exactly.
Bill, what do you think he's after? He's been after light rail plans for a decade or more. What's the real motivation here?
I go with exactly what his sister said, which was last February. And his sister said, I think he started out with good intentions and then his ego took over. And Clay does not have not one transit system that he has ever designed that has successfully been enacted. And he seems to have this notion that if he designs it, they will come.
Right.
And that, you know, he'll get the federal funding and that sort of thing. And he just doesn't have much of an understanding of the way the system works in terms of funding and so forth. I've talked to the city manager. I've talked to the head of the Transportation and Infrastructure Committee. He's cost the city, according to Troy Schulte, well over $1 million in his various lawsuits, initiatives, various things like that. And on it goes. And so, you know, my position is, as a reporter, if you are costing the taxpayers a good bit of money, regardless of whether this time you're running for office, and he may again, it does pretty much make you fair game.
Yeah. Yeah. The rules change if you're an elected official or if you want to be an elected official. That's where you want something from the people. You want them to make a decision about you. We get access to all the right. information we want to make that right. decision.
And let me say this. Clay Chastain was not convicted of either of the animal cruelty charges. One, no conviction, found not guilty. The other one, not prosecuted, which really doesn't mean you're not guilty. It's just that the prosecutors, for whatever reason, elect not to move forward with the case. The man is not stupid. He is very smart. He apparently has done a great deal with electrical engineering, but he sort of loses it in the translation. In other words, you know, you have to have transit plans that go quite a bit beyond an artist's rendering. And those are the kinds of things that he will not discuss. What about the infrastructure? What are the streets that you would tear up? That sort of thing. And he won't discuss any of those details. And my guess is because he doesn't have them.
He doesn't have them.
Bill, you're getting some rave reviews on the text line.
Oh, yeah. You're a favorite.
Kick his ass, Bill. Bill, you're my hero. Oh, hell no. You can't talk to Bill Grady like that. Woohoo! Go, Bill Grady. Bill is my new favorite. Great work. Take him to task. Let's play it one more time.
Yeah.
This had to do with animal cruelty and the death of two dogs.
Right.
This is Bill Grady and Clay Chastain. Earlier today,
I have a right to sue your ass.
Go right ahead. Go right ahead.
Harassment.
Go right ahead.
I'm thinking of it.
We have a big legal
now
department.
Beat it out of here, okay?
I'm not leaving.
Then get out of my way so I can see my board.
You can see
Move
it.
Move your wide body over here, will you?
You can see it.
I can't see the whole thing.
You can see it.
Move it a little bit over here.
You're not going to put
and
your
I
hands
said,
on
I'm
me,
not
Clay.
Going to you can see it. Any more of your questions.
You have judgment issues.
Related,
that's what people want to know.
It has nothing to do with my engineering design ability.
Was he about to push you? Did he? Why did you say that? Don't put your hands on me.
I don't know, but well, he kept stepping closer to me, and I just didn't, you know, I don't like people to put their hands on me, and I wasn't in his way. And so he's right about one thing. I do have a wide body. I am a jumbo petite.
That was a little low, but.
Yeah.
Oh, that, well, no,
don't
no.
Don't get personal about it.
It's not something I don't know, Mike. I've made peace with that. But please understand this, and I appreciate everybody's comments and so forth. The story is not about me. The story is about Clay Chastain. The story is about Clay's plans, about his background, about his judgment, and, you know, what he's proposing for Kansas City, how much money it's costing taxpayers. It is not about me. I am sorry that it got to the point that it did, but it was after, you know, doing everything that I could. And when I asked him questions, he did not respond well. We could have had a calm conversation. But, you know, when somebody's trying to talk over me, I got to try to get the question in.
Right.
You know? It's tough to talk over you with that voice. With those pipes you got, Bill, I don't know how many people can talk over you.
I had an ex-wife that was really, really good at it. Really good.
Bill, thank you for coming in.
My pleasure,
guys. Appreciate it.
Bill Grady from the newsroom. And,
good luck out there, man.
Yeah.
Who knew? It's so dangerous out there.
Goodness. Clay Chastain v. Bill Grady. That'll be the undercard of the Floyd Mayweather-Conor McGregor fight coming up in August. Ashley in KC has dialed us up, too. Comment. You're on 98.1 KMBZ. Hi, Ashley.
I am so glad that somebody is finally taking this man to task. He has had his business in Kansas City for a long time and has no business being here. He does not know the people. He does not know the community. He does not know what we want. Thank God somebody finally did what every news station in this town should have done a long time ago.
Hear, hear.
Bill Grady for president.
Thanks a lot for the support there, Ashley. He appreciates it.
When Sly James is done, that's the guy I want in Kansas City.
Right? That could be his next career.
Does Bill live in Kansas or Missouri?
I don't believe he lives in Missouri.
All right.
So
great
that
job.
Would be the problem.
Great job, Bill Grady.
Somebody just texted, Bill, can I hire you to get some questions out of my wife?
I have a right to sue your ass.
Go right ahead. Go right ahead.
Harassment.
Go right ahead.
I'm thinking of it.
We have a big legal
now
department.
Beat it out of here, okay?
I'm not leaving.
Then get out of my way so I can see my board.
You can see
Move
it.
Move your wide body over here, will you?
You can see it.
I can't see the whole thing.
You can see it.
Move it a little bit over here.
You're not going to put
and
your
I
hands
said,
on
I'm
me,
not
Clay.
Going to
you can see it.
Any more of your questions.
You have judgment issues. That's what people want to know.
It has nothing to do with my engineering design ability.
It's 12:28. Have you gone to our Facebook page and seen the video of the police officer and his interaction with the drunk driver? Was it excessive force or was it necessary? 98.1 KMBZ, Midday with Jamie and Wicket. We got First World Fridays coming up at 1 o'clock. This next story is out of Nebraska, and it's on our Facebook page. And it actually happened a few months ago, and the video is surfacing. There could be some legal issues in this, and you have to see the video. That's why we're telling you for the last hour to go to our Facebook page and watch the video. But I'm going to try to explain it to you from the Daily Mail. This shocking moment after a Nebraska state trooper struck down a drunk man with the butt of his rifle was all caught on a dash cam video. Brian Davis is the driver. He reportedly led authorities on a dangerous chase. All right. Picture following a gray minivan at night, going up to 100 miles an hour, okay? Trooper Kyle Kubler clocked the silver van driving at 76 in a 55.
Okay.
All right? Around 1 in the morning. Footage from the ordeal shows spikes flying up from one of the blown-out tires on the minivan before it crashes off the road. The Colorado native was ordered out of the vehicle by Kubler and by Trooper Lindsey Bixby, who joined the pursuit about 20 minutes into the chase. So chase is going on. Guy's going 76 and a 55. One of the tires blows out. Eventually, another cop joins the chase, and the van kind of careens into the grass and crashes. Okay? So the guy gets out of the vehicle. Drunk guy stands out of the vehicle. He's in a tank top and shorts. The troopers shout commands like get on the ground several times. He does not follow their instructions.
Okay, that's really important.
That's when the second officer, Bixby, approaches him and literally walks up and knocks him in the head with the butt end of a rifle. Oh. He falls to the ground immediately. Then they wrestle with him, but they put handcuffs on him. Now, according to the Omaha World Herald, Bixby, the officer who struck the man with the rifle, was not truthful about what happened. He was not fired, testified under oath that he did not strike the guy in the head. But at the video showed out, he then resigned from his post months later, but could be possibly hired later by another law enforcement agency. So this happened last year. This trial's been going on. The video showed everything that you need to see. So the question is, was that police brutality? Was that excessive force? Jamie, you've seen the video. If you haven't, it's right on the top of our Facebook page. Click on the link and scroll down. There's a 10-second version and there's a minute and a half version.
I need a police officer to tell me because he didn't follow orders. He didn't do what he was told, but he wasn't threatening. He was just standing there. He didn't lunge at an officer. He didn't pull a gun. Mm-hmm. He didn't do an aggressive motion toward an officer. And so sometimes the way that a shooting is justified is if the officer feels like his life is in danger or her life is in danger or they are somehow being attacked. In this case, he wasn't obeying orders to get on the ground, but he wasn't being aggressive. Does that warrant you going up to him? Because then he fell to the ground, obviously. Does that warrant you then going up and using force? We can debate excessive, but does that warrant you using force to make him in a non-aggressive position when he wasn't being aggressive? He was standing. They wanted him on the ground, but he wasn't threatening.
576-7798. If you've seen the video or you can picture, we're not trying to paint a picture poorly or just in a good manner of the police officer. I'm just trying to explain the situation. Was this excessive force? Now, some officers have been put on administrative leave while this investigation has been going on. On Thursday, the governor was fully briefed on the use of force in the display in the video. Spokesman Taylor Gage said that the governor said, quote, the use of force on display in the video is egregious.
Many people on the text line are saying, follow verbal commands and that won't happen. Do what you're supposed to do and that won't happen. He got what he deserved.
All right. I'll accept that. But if you watch it, it just looks like the guy standing there, his hands are about shoulder high. They're out, and up walks the officer and thunk, he gets him in the head.
Okay, here's a good point.
But I don't know if that's excessive or not. I'm not a police officer.
And I'm going back and forth because my initial thought is, hell yeah, that's excessive because he didn't do anything for you to hit him in the head with the butt of a gun. On the other hand, the reason they wanted him to be on the ground was so that there was no possibility of him becoming aggressive. I mean, he still could be, but yes, he's more aggressive in a standing position than a laying on the ground position. And the fact that he was standing still allowed for the possibility that he could be threatening. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But does that warrant this?
I mean, what this did was it put an end to the situation. It took out the chance. I mean, it really did.
Okay, let me jump to an extreme.
Okay.
So could shooting him?
Yes.
Shooting him could put an end to the situation. So does that mean it's okay if he shoots him? I'm jumping to extremes, but in my head, it's the same. In my head, it's ending the situation.
But, it doesn't make it look good when the officer lies, by the way.
So somebody just pointed that out on the text line.
Oh, good.
Is that the officer must have known it was excessive force or he wouldn't have lied about it in the first place.
Interesting.
It does raise an interesting point.
576-7798. Again, if you are a friend of ours on Facebook, like us on Facebook, facebook.com/981KMBZ, and watch the video and let us know.
How did the officer not know? Maybe he was hearing impaired. And the guy driving might not have heard the verbal commands.
I don't know. By the way, the driver, he has a bit of a criminal past. He has a criminal history from 1999 to 2015, set up more than 20 misdemeanors and traffic offenses while he was in Colorado. So this guy's not, it's not like it's the first time he's ever been pulled over. Was that excessive force? 576-7798. Again, long drunk driver chase, got up to 100 miles, clocked at 76 in a 55. The second officer that got involved in the chase walks up after the car, kind of crashed into a grassy area, and boonk, walked right up and clobbered him with the butt end of a rifle. I see both sides of this. I want a police officer.
Yeah. Yeah, I need, okay, so here's, from a police officer, we had two in a row texting.
Oh, good, 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 good.
To your calls.
Good.
From a police officer, hitting someone in the head is considered lethal force.
So is that legal force?
Is that excessive
force? Is that excessive?
And was it justified here? Then immediate next text, Kansas police officer, I don't like the words police brutality. However, yes, this was excessive force. This does not warrant using this type of force. A strike to the head with a blunt object is considered deadly force. Would you want a cop doing this to a family member? He could have been tased or wrestled him to the ground with multiple officers while controlling his hands, or use a beanbag shotgun if it is available. And the officer should not have lied. It ruins your credibility. That is all from a cop.
Appreciate that. 576-7798. Let's go to Jim in Kansas City. Jim, you're on 98.1 KMBZ. Hi, Jim.
Hello there. Yeah, that was way too much for
it. Did you watch it?
Yes.
Yeah.
To see the video and to see him get struck like that, there's no need. What happens, again, like you guys brought up, that what happens if he was he couldn't hear good, if he had a used to wearing a hearing aid? I mean, some of the stuff can happen. You deserve the right to get hit. It's all bets are off. You know, when you don't obey the police officer, everybody should. But if you don't obey them, does that say, okay, I got the right to do anything I want, whether I run and grab you by the neck, throw you on the ground, kick you, and the stuff? You have no rights to do any of that. That's too excessive force on a person. But no, he made a wrong call, and I know there's a lot of police officers that would say that's not right, that what he did. So I'm on the side that, no, that was too much force on a person. Thank you.
Hey, thanks for the phone call, Jim. Appreciate it.
Yeah, somebody else asked, couldn't they have hit him in the legs and not hit him in the head and still at least gotten him on the ground?
In theory.
Yeah,
but you know,
could have hit him in the back of the knee and he would have fallen.
What I think knocking him in the face did in that cop's mind is, He's not going to, like, if you hit me in the leg, what if I happen to have a weapon in my pocket? I can still pull it on you. Is that a chance to knock you out, knock you unconscious to the point where you're not going to be able to grab your weapon if you have one?
Couldn't the gun go off if you fall to the ground from being hit in the head?
Possibly, but you can't pull it and aim it directly at a police officer.
That's true.
576-7798. We'll get to Daniel and Matt and Thomas. Ooh, Thomas has a great point. But so does Matt. A lot of good points coming in. We'll hit them all with you next on 98.1 KMBZ. KMBZ, midday with Jamie and Wicket, Jamie Monticelli, Mike Wicket. We are talking about a police officer. We'll do First World Fridays coming up at 1:05, but this is a story out of Nebraska and a long chase with a drunk driver that wound up having the driver eventually got up to 100 miles an hour, got clocked doing 76 at a 55. He gets out of the car, and the second officer in the chase comes up as the guy gets out of the car. He won't go down to the ground after being told verbally, and thunk with the butt end of a rifle. He did go down to the ground after that.
Yeah, and if you haven't seen the video yet, I would encourage you to take a look at it. It's up on our Facebook page. You can check it out there. And so the question is, is this excessive force? We should point out that the cop that hit him with the gun initially lied about it. Initially, he was asked about the incident, and he denied it. The video very clearly shows that he did it. So that, for a lot of us, that's raising questions.
576-7798 is the phone number. You can text in at 22980. I get why the guy did it, but it seems like it's too much.
No, I don't get why he did that. I get why in that moment he needed to do something, because the guy wasn't following orders. And that means that the cop still felt threatened in some way. Mm. I get why he felt like he needed to do something.
To end
but
the
I,
situation.
I think this was going too far.
Let's talk to Daniel in North Kansas City. Daniel, you're on 98.1 KMBZ.
Yeah, good afternoon. Obviously, everyone is chiming in the same thing. It was obvious excessive force. anytime there's one of these incidents with police violence, people always start playing the what-if game. And if you're going to play the what-if game and you're going to live in fear of the what-if, then public safety is not the career for you. I'm active duty military and done multiple deployments, and we are trained that there are two things that are required before you engage a lethal force. One, you have to positively identify that the person has the ability, and number two, the intent. And if those two conditions do not exist, then you do not have the right to take lethal force against them. You can, you know, there's all sorts of what ifs. You know, you walk down the middle of Baghdad and people would come up behind you and, you know, stab you under your body armor. And every person could be a what if, but you can't go around shooting everybody or using lethal force on everybody because of a what if.
Yeah, you know what? It's a that is the mentality, I'm sure, of the cop that
right
thunked the guy.
Right.
What if he has this? But it just the video is so damning. It really is. Thanks for the phone call, Daniel. We appreciate it.
If the goal is to make him compliant, then you can do something that might not result in a fatal head wound.
Sure.
There are other things you can do. Hit him in the back of the knee. Push him to the ground. Whatever. You don't have to hit him with the butt of a gun.
Let's go to Matt in Olathe. Matt, you're on 98.1 KMBZ. Matt, did you watch the video? Is it excessive?
You know what? I actually haven't watched the video, and that's why I'm talking kind of a little bit just based on what you're telling me.
Sure.
If he has his hands, like, shoulder high, and, like, that means he could do just about anything. If your hands are behind your head and laced, everything is bit like the police officer tells you to do, is in the event that you try and get squirrely, to give him a fraction of a second up on you to keep you from doing something. If he's not listening, I think out of all of the civil things that were done, that's probably the most civil. I don't know what his body language was. Did he kind of come up and hit him in anger? What is the size of the suspect versus the size of the police officer? And the thing that you said that gets me the most is, once he's down after getting hit the face, he's still wrestling.
Yeah, he was. I mean, the story says he was still wrestling. I mean, he was drunk. There's no doubt.
Right.
He was a drunk guy. He stumbles out of the car. His hands are going up. You can see him. He's a little bit wobbly. He falls back on the car. He's drunk, and his hands kind of go up. Police officers show. They're yelling at him to get on the ground. Boom. Thunk. He's on the ground, and then they're wrestling to get his hands into cuffs or ties or whatever. You got to watch the video, too. It really adds to know what you're seeing. As this guy gets out of his car before the butt end of the rifle hits him in the face. Thomas in South Kansas City, you're on 98.1 KMBZ.
Hey, I really don't think it was excessive force because, to Daniel's point, he actually answered the what if by driving 100 miles an hour, putting other people's lives in danger. Now, at this point, this is not a normal drunk driving stop. This is a lethal situation, and officers have to take any necessary actions to get this guy down on the ground and get him in control. This is not excessive force. Most of them have pads on the back of the gun. Put him on the ground. He is in custody. Everybody is safe.
Hey, Thomas, let me ask you this. If it was totally within the police officer's right to do it, why did he lie about it?
Because of all the probably recent actions that police have been involved in.
But there's video showing it. I mean, lie about it if you want, but the video, he knows the video exists.
He does know it exists, and he probably trying to save his job. I don't know why he lied. I would have, the board should have looked at him and said, hey, this is not a normal stop. He's putting lives in danger. This guy could have either easily T-boned somebody and killed them, and he's headed to a drug treatment program saying that he's sorry. No, this guy has used excessive force trying to get away. Excessive force is necessary to get this guy under control.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it. It's funny. We get back-to-back texts. Some of you are on the air, and the text line keeps rolling in. Great, first text, great call. Second text, that guy's way off.
Yeah.
It's funny. Hey, thank you for your phone call, Thomas. Appreciate it. And that's why we're trying to get as many people up as we can, because I can see two different sides of it. The guy was driving drunk at 100 miles an hour.
But he had stopped. He was out of the car at that point. What if the guy had died from the head injury, from being hit from the butt of the gun?
Then his family sues the police department.
And would they have a case?
Yes.
For excessive force at that point. What if the guy had died?
Or went into a coma or had brain damage.
Yeah.
Or became a vegetable because of that.
Again, I look at that and I go, you know, we talk about these situations every so often. And what we hear from police is that police are taught control. This is why you and I say we could never do that job.
No.
Because you have to make too many split-second decisions, life and death, too quickly. There's no way I would have just the composition for it. I couldn't do it. But in that moment, you have multiple options on how to water down that situation, and this was the one you chose?
Yes.
To me, that's not right.
Let's go to Donna in Kansas City. You're on 98.1 KMBZ. Hi, Donna.
Hi.
What's up?
Good conversation, but I haven't seen the video.
Okay.
Because I'm driving in the car.
Okay.
But one of my very first questions is, why does the police officer have a rifle in his hands if it is a traffic type race or, you know, chase? The guy is already out of the car. Why is there even a rifle in the officer's hands that he would just bluntly, I mean, why?
I'm not a police. I don't know. You know,
but we have a police officer listening because he's texting in quite a bit. Respond to that if you would. You know who you are.
So the first officer who's on the chase, the dash cam video is from his car. As the drunk guy's getting out, standing there wobbling, kind of leading up against the van, he comes up with a pistol or whatever a cop carries, the handgun. He's got it with two hands pointed. And then from the left comes the guy, the state trooper, with the rifle. I'm assuming it almost makes you think, because the guy's got the handgun on his hip too.
Uh-huh.
Did he grab the rifle with the full intention, I'm going to knock this man out with a rifle?
Right. Is that why he grabbed that?
Is that almost premeditated?
It could be.
I mean, that's my thinking, because he's got a pistol on him. I'm sure he does.
Yeah.
Did he go to the trunk to grab the rifle? I don't know where rifles are kept in cop cars. I have no idea. Knock on wood. But did he go grab the rifle with the full intention? Or does he not have a baton?
Yeah.
Or a nightstick? Or whatever? We need a full-time police officer in the studio with us.
Yeah.
To keep us safe and answer these kinds of questions. Because to me, it's like he's like, all right, this guy's wasted. I'm going to go get that rifle, and I'm going to knock this guy out. It almost feels that way.
We will never know that part of it.
Nope.
We'll never know the intent there, because he'll for sure never admit it.
No, the guy resigned.
Yeah.
Wound up lying about hitting the guy in the face with the rifle, and I wonder if this guy's even woken up yet. This guy, because it is a hell of a rifle shot.
Yeah, and the same Kansas police officer keeps texting and said, again, no, he is wrong. This officer that keeps texting keeps it going against this officer and saying, what if that guy or someone died because you strike them over the head? I hope he never becomes a cop. It's called restraint.
And that's the question, too. At the very beginning of the story is, would anybody hire this police officer?
Right.
Would anybody hire this guy now knowing that this was the behavior that led him to end his employment at the police department in Nebraska? Final word on this goes to Kristen in Lawrence on 98.1 KMBZ. Hi, Kristen.
Hi. I wanted to point out an example of why force like that doesn't need to be used. My husband last fall was leaving the bank that he works at, and a gentleman had been running from a crime where he had a very large knife in his hand. The police force, and we have fine police force in Lawrence, came, and they were able to struggle with this guy, get the knife out of his hand, and not harm the guy in one bit. So I want to point out, there's no need to be abusive like that officer was in Nebraska.
Sure. And they get, you know what? I like to think that cops get plenty of training to disarm criminals or potential criminals in more sophisticated ways than bashing a guy's head in.
Yeah.
But you know what this did? It ended the situation.
It did, but so would a lot of other things.
That's very true. Again, you can check it out on our Facebook page. It is there. I encourage you to watch the video. Coming up, we will get to that story about what your kids will be potentially doing or who they'll potentially be adding on Snapchat. But I got some first world problems. Jamie, I got some
We're
first.
We're all about fixing your life here.
I got first world problems.
That's why we started the segment, Fix Wicket's Life.
Because I don't have real issues. I only have first world issues.
No.
So text in your first world problems, 22980. 22980. You want to get your first world problems up on the air? We want to mock them.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Parles-tu français?
Hablas español?
Parle italiano.
If you've used Babbel, you would. Babbel's conversation-based technique teaches you useful words and phrases to get you speaking quickly about the things you actually talk about in the real world. With lessons handcrafted by over 200 language experts and voiced by real native speakers, Babbel is like having a private tutor in your pocket. Start speaking with Babbel today. Get up to 55% off your Babbel subscription right now at babbel.com/listen. Spelled babbel.com/listen. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback. I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no, so my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron and Santa Fe to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark-colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.